From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in a small restaurant in Tuscany in 2008. An American couple had enjoyed a wonderful meal, 4 hours in length, on a sleepy Sunday night. And they mused that in the United States, an 8 p.m. reservation on a quiet Sunday would have servers putting chairs on the top of tables, trying to push them out as quickly as possible. Well, this was the opposite. The staff urged them to stay, to sample more of the chef's work, to enjoy homemade dessert from the server's grandmother. And a few minutes after midnight, picking up to leave, the Americans wondered, what's the protocol for tipping in Italy again? In Italy, there not really is tipping. It's kind of included in the bill. The servers graciously explained that leaving an extra euro or two was fine, but unnecessary. Is this the way American restaurants should handle tipping? It's a trend that is slowly starting to spread. Last month, restaurateur Danny Meyer told New York Times Magazine that tipping is socialist because servers have to pool the tips and the best servers are not rewarded with more. So he's eliminating tipping in his restaurant empire, raising prices, but there will be no tipping of the staff. It's now included in the bill. What are the implications for servers, for the rest of the staff, for diners, if this trend picks up? And could this be tied to increases in wages for servers and others' employees? Let me welcome our panel to discuss it for the hour. Janine Wassley is here, the owner of Avino in Rochester. And Janine, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Amanda Antonor is a restaurant reviewer, food writer, and a critic for the Democrat and Chronicle. Nice to see you, Amanda.
Thanks for having me back.
Chris Grocki is the director of operations at Char Steak and Lounge. Chris, welcome back.
Good to be here, Evan. Thank you.
Mark Potter is a longtime local server, and nice to see Mark back here as well. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. I want to start with this here, guys. Chris Grocki, how big of a conversation in our food empire in Rochester is this? I mean, Manhattan trends are going to go to the big cities first, but is this something that could spread? Is it being talked about?
I think we all took notice when Manhattan started doing it. I think we've all paid attention, and we all love that Manhattan is going to be the test case on this.
Yeah, so we don't have to be.
Exactly. So we'll continue to watch, and we'll see how it goes for them. But right now, I think we would mostly agree that it's going to take a while to get into this market if it happens, and there's a lot of good reasons for that.
Okay, Janine, what do you think?
I think that eventually the restaurant business will lean towards no tipping. For our city, I think being an established restaurant is going to be very hard to just switch that all of a sudden. I think if a new person came into the scene and just opened and started with no tipping and had it built into their prices, it'd be much easier for them than an existing business.
But why do you think eventually we're going that way?
I think the disparity between the front of the house and the back of the house wages is just getting bigger and bigger, and we all want to take care of our employees and make sure they make as much money as possible and take care of them with health care. And if we go towards a no-tipping system, that'll make everything a little easier.
It's the front and the back of the house is exactly what Danny Meyer has cited in several of his interviews. He is, let's see here, I think he's got a dozen or 13 restaurants in Manhattan. Is he also the CEO of Shake Shack or something?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is. Yeah. Okay, he's not the CEO, but he was the founder.
Okay, the founder of Shake Shack. So, but many of his restaurants now are a little higher end than Shake Shack. And he has been saying that he wants to fix his so-called hospitality included plan. Involves it would be a hike in menu prices, and then he wants to kind of change that disparity front and back of the house. He wants to elevate the pay grade of back of the house staff to diminish the earning disparity across restaurant positions. Janine, is that a valuable goal?
Absolutely. And now with the server minimum wage increase has gone up 50%. It's just increasing that disparity more and more.
Okay, and she's talking about, by the way, not. It's a minimum wage for tipped workers, which used to be $5 an hour, and this past year went up to $7.50 an hour.
Yeah,
which is a 50% increase for those.
It's huge,
workers.
And it's not just the extra $2.50 an hour; it's the payroll taxes on top of that. It's going to cost us about $30,000 extra this year just to pay our tipped employees.
All right, Mark Potter, for you as a server, Danny Meyer saying, "Look, you are great." As a server, I want to tip you more, but you don't get the extra. You've got to pool it. And he says, that's unfair. That's socialist. Let's change the system entirely. First of all, is he right? Do most restaurants pool?
I don't like Danny Meyer as much as most people. I really do. While I appreciate him being a person, I think that when I looked at Danny Meyer and his portfolio, Shake Shack stock went down almost 50%. I think he lost $300 million. And I think that he was looking to create a new revenue stream by saying, we're going to eliminate tipping, and now we're going to pay them
He's getting the headlines he wanted? Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I think.
Okay, but let's just talk about the merits then. He's saying, you're not going to get more if I want to tip you more and you're my server. He doesn't like that. Are most restaurants pooling it?
Not that I've experienced. So there's a pooled system as far as points and that you distribute among the support staff, as far as food runners and server assistants, but not a universal pool that everyone makes the same.
Okay, so if there's how many restaurants on a Saturday night are on the floor working at Char?
Servers?
How many servers?
Five.
Okay, five.
Traditionally five.
So if you're my server and I want to leave you a $500 tip because you're great. And you are great.
Thank you.
If I want to leave you
a can you call my mom and tell her that?
Yeah, if I want to leave you a $500 tip, you're keeping that? You're not pooling that with the other four?
No. Unless I'm, it's agreed between us. But it's being dispersed throughout the other support staff as well.
Okay. So how much of that $500 is yours then?
I would say, I mean, more than half. Well, more than half. Probably say like $350 to $400.
So in other words, if you outperform or if you earn higher tips, you will keep more. It's not everybody gets exactly the same on the service staff.
Correct.
Okay. Is that true? You're,
yep.
You're nodding, Janine?
Absolutely.
Yes? Okay. So does Danny Meyer have it wrong then, Chris? I mean, is that...
I mean, we're talking about incentive-based pay, which I think is one of the most powerful things out there.
But Danny Meyer is saying, I'm doing this because that doesn't really exist, that most restaurants are pooling the tips now.
Well, I think the idea of giving a $500 tip to somebody in Mark's position can happen when someone has that breathtaking experience that absolutely changes their life and they want to show their gratitude with money. Sure, if they're walking into a house where they know service is completely included and they don't have the option of giving a tip, well, then you know they don't have the option to financially reward in the same way.
Well, here's what Danny said. So he says, our waiters work for us, and in fact, they work for us now more than ever, harder than ever. And someone asked me, is your model of no tipping socialist? Well, I would argue that tipping is far more socialist for this reason. In most fine dining restaurants, tips are pooled. So even when you leave your $50 tip, you think you're giving that to your server, but that server is actually sharing it with everyone else who can receive tips equally. He's wrong about that?
In Manhattan, I'm sure that that's true at most high-end restaurants. When you're talking about different cities, different markets, you're talking about different systems. We have guidelines set up to take and, if you will, redistribute a bit of the frontline tips that go to the support staff that Mark was talking about. You've got server assistants, you've got food runners, room service attendants in the case of our hotel. We make sure that everyone's kind of guaranteed at least a little bit of the action through our system, but it's ultimately the frontline server's decision or the frontline bartender's decision to decide how much they're going to give to those people. Are they fair about it? Yes.
All right. So Chris just mentioned an incentive-based system. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Let me ask food writer Amanda Antenor, what are the pros and cons in your mind when you look at a possible change? You know, that Janine is saying maybe that this is coming eventually. It's not going to happen overnight in Rochester, but maybe we'll watch Manhattan for a while. Maybe this is the future. What are the pros and cons?
Right. Well, I am sort of split on this issue because I think there are pluses and minuses to both ends. I think that if you go to a restaurant that is set up at that high-end level and you have that theatrical experience, then I would like to see the paying process be eliminated altogether when you're there. I really like the ticketed reservation systems that have been put in place by various chefs like David Chang and Grant Achatz in Chicago. Going just to have the experience of the meal, I think, is what should be taken in, especially when you're going to be paying as much as you do at places like that and not having to worry about, you know, your bill coming at the end. But again, I think that is really only meant for certain establishments. And then on the opposite side, if you take it away, is service going to decline? Is my experience going to lessen because of it? Because there isn't that incentive in place. And I think that's, you know, what really is the determining factor.
All right, so before we dive into incentives, let me grab a phone call and let me mention to our audience, we'd love to hear from you this hour. First of all, what do you think about a change in the system and the way we essentially pay people in restaurants? Should we go to no more tipping the way Danny Meyer, the way much of Europe, I'm not crazy, right? It's much of Europe, isn't
right.
it?
I mean,
you're
at least much. Less than what we're used to here in America.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. You can call the program and weigh in. It's 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Our panel, by the way, is a great resource if you just have general questions on tipping protocol and other things, because I think there are a lot of related or tangential questions here. So this is a great chance for you to weigh in with that. And Keith wants to remind us what TIP stands for. Go ahead, Keith.
TIP is, if you know the history of tipping, it's an acronym, and it stands for To In Serve Prompt Service. So it originally got started before you sat down. And you know, I'm going to embarrass the heck out of myself right now because I'm in queue to order a cup of coffee. Can I order the cup of coffee?
Oh, Keith. My God.
All right, can I get a medium coffee with two sugars?
Oh, my gosh.
In late-breaking news, how does Evan Dawson like his coffee?
I love Keith. Keith always has interesting things to say, but that's the first time anyone's ever ordered a coffee while listening to a radio program.
Did he tip up front, though?
So, Keith, you better let us know if you tipped that person. Okay, so all things understanding the history of tipping and tipping as you know, what it's intended to do, it, many people think Amanda's right. It's intended, now at least, to incentivize great service to above and beyond. Mark, if you weren't tipped at all, would it change the way you do your job? You're going to say, no, I've got such pride, it would never change me. But could it change at least people like you in your position?
I'm going to answer the question by not answering the question.
Oh.
I think that people love tipping. I think that people, it defines them as a person, and I think that it makes them feel cool. It's like it, they relate to the server, and they do appreciate that.
So you think people like the opportunity to reward great service?
I think that we're defined by our uniquenesses and that it gives the individual to be unique and say, hey, I really had a great experience. Thank you.
And so when you go out, you liked having that chance as well to signal to your service staff.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I mean, especially like when you serve people all day long, the first thing that you want is to be served. I want to sit down. I want to have a bartender or a server recognize me. And when they do, I mean, the medium of exchange is financial.
You're probably a great tipper, I imagine.
I'd like to think that I do okay.
Most people I know who've worked in restaurants, myself included, are pretty good tippers. And but at the same time, I'm curious to know what the rest of the panel thinks about this incentive question. So we got a non-denial denial from Mark on whether his behavior would change as a server if there were no tipping. Janine?
I think it would change a lot. Even take your job, for example. I don't know what you get paid hourly or salary, but you get paid exactly the same no matter what you do.
That's right.
Now, if we had some sort of system where the more people you talk to, the more you connected with the guests on the show, you made more money, you're going to work harder. You're going to do more shows. You're going to talk to more people.
It is not possible to work harder.
Oh. It's the same thing with the servers. If they all make $18 an hour and they work 4 to 10 and that's it, they're going to come in, they're going to take their tables, they're going to talk to their guests, they're going to go home. If they have an opportunity to take more tables, connect more with the guests, talk to them more about food, learn their children's names, their allergies, they're going to get tipped more and they're going to work harder.
All right, that's a restaurant owner speaking, Mark. You're a server. Do you agree with that?
I think that this country was founded on three primary reasons: free speech, free religion, and a free market economy. People like to tip. I mean, that is your...
I thought you were going to say the country was founded on free tipping or the principle of tipping. Gratuity.
I mean, I appreciate it. I think that it's my opportunity to connect with the guests at a higher level. I think that if you eliminate that, I think that it kind of waters down the dining experience.
All right. So, Chris, you agree with what Janine's saying there? Concern about lack of incentive?
I absolutely do. I think you started off by talking about Italy, talking about Europe. Let's think about when Europeans come into our restaurants. You know, they kind of expect everybody to be getting paid a basic wage across the board, and we'll note that Europeans are perhaps a bit more unused to the system where, you know, we'll go out of our way to take care of things. You don't have to snap your fingers and summon someone over. We're gonna come. We're gonna do it. You know. And that's the way that that our industry is set up around that tipping. Yes, there is absolutely an incentive to take care of people. For our group, we always say it's about the human element, our hospitality group. And there are few things more human than one person kind of saying out of no requirement, I'm going to give you this money at the end to demonstrate my gratitude. I think that that's fantastic.
No, but hold on. Let me play devil's advocate, and I'll get to your phone calls in a second here. Let me play devil's advocate here because Chris referenced the Italy story. Of course, that was my wife and me in April of 2008, and this is one instance. I'm always leery of overplaying and overgeneralizing one story. I mean, it's not a scientific sample. I would love to see a study of, you know, what people generally think of the quality of service in Europe, where tipping essentially doesn't really exist, versus, say, in Rochester or Manhattan. That would be interesting. I don't know of it. But the story you're referencing, we get there at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. There is nobody else in this tiny restaurant in this tiny town. And in this country, most restaurants, probably not yours and probably not yours, but many would be saying, well, you know, can we bring you your check? You know, we were there till 4 hours past midnight, and they were bringing us, oh, my grandmother made this, you must try it. And, you know, they're not, they're doing it for an extra euro. They're not doing it for an extra euro. They're doing it because it's in their blood.
Hospitality is not dependent on tipping. I think that's an entirely different story. We're talking about frontline service and kind of promptitude, as mm-hmm. Keith mentioned. So when we're talking about just the spirit of hospitality, there are owners, there are managers that institute that in their places and those that don't. And clearly you were dealing with a place that absolutely did.
Well, I think that's well said here. Amanda, you want to weigh in as well? What do you think?
Well, I think kind of going back to what Janine said, and you're not going to see just everybody changing their way of tipping. It's probably going to be something slow if it happens at all. And I would like to see, if anything, an opportunity to add upon what may already be in place. So if they do eliminate gratuity, you still have an option to leave something extra. And that's your way of saying thank you. I think that's something that can be kind of helpful for a middle ground.
But I don't want to speak for Danny Meyer, but he might say, we can't allow that. Yeah, he doesn't want to allow that. He wants to basically say, this is the standard. Nobody tips, we all get the same.
Well, what he does in place of it, he leaves rate cards. So
you can leave a comment.
Take a survey, which kind of, goes back to some chain restaurants that I can think of that do the same thing.
Okay, and now all your phones are lit up. So before the last question for our panel, before we get to your phone calls on this question, is Chris Grocki, do you tip less if you get bad service? Is there a baseline, no matter how bad, I'm not going to tip less than X, or will you tip less?
I think, my opinion is going to be informed by a lot of different decisions. The only time that I will penalize a tip, I will over-reward, sure. The only time that I'll penalize is if I think somebody absolutely did not care at all about performing their job. And in that case, I'll be more disappointed than anything else, but I would never not leave a tip based on that.
And that's probably pretty rare.
Incredibly rare.
Yeah. Incredibly Mark Potter? Rare.
I will tip the same traditionally, but I won't go back. That'll be my way of saying, like, I'm not going to reward you with my dollar.
If you get bad service, you're still tipping.
I'm not going back.
Yeah. Okay. Janine Wassa?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I tip over 20% anywhere I go. Even if it's a horrible experience, it's still 20%, and I just won't go back.
And Amanda Antonori?
Pretty much the same. I have a standard tipping rate, and if I don't like it, then they'll read about it in the paper.
See, you have a different power there with your pen that can be so poisonous. No,
I'm very gentle.
Incredibly generous.
Yes, exactly right. Now we've got all the lines lit up, so let me start moving through your phone calls. Matt in Shortsville, first up. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, when I go out to dinner, it's because I enjoy going out to dinner, and I'm out and I'm in a good mood. So when I go out, I would not go to a restaurant that doesn't allow me to tip. I think tipping is my choice, not somebody else's choice. And comment to what your last discussion was, there's times where I've left zero, and there's times where I've left a tip that was more than the cost of the meal.
I think that kind of goes to what Mark is saying. Now, Mark Potter didn't say he would leave zero, but you're saying you like the opportunity to leave a lot more if you really feel compelled to.
Honestly, I respect that for Matt. I mean, like, that gives you an opportunity to learn something about yourself, learn something about your attitude and the way that the restaurant handles itself, and on both sides of the spectrum.
How often, what percentage of the time do people tip less than 18% now, Mark?
Char, I would say that it's pretty infrequent.
Pretty infrequent.
As far as a percentage, I don't know. I'd say well less than 50%.
Okay. Now, do you take that as a chance to say, boy, did they not have a good experience? Or do you think, boy, that person was rude?
I think, first, what could I do? What could I do to my goal is the same for every single table, every single diner. I want them to come back. And that's number one. And if the tip is indicative of service, something going wrong, then, yeah, I use that as an opportunity for self-reflection. How can I be better, and how can I move forward with this?
Okay. And when people leave big tips for you, does that simply just reinforce for you that the mission is working?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, you smile, and you're like, wow, that was awesome. Like, they had a great opportunity. Like, they had a great experience. I mean, I'm rewarded financially from that, but, like, that is so awesome.
Well, Mike on Twitter says, your entire panel has a bias. They only know the U.S. system. He said he's from New Zealand. Service is outstanding in New Zealand, and no tipping. Well, Mike, you haven't been everywhere in New Zealand, but I kid. Mike's a friend of this program, and I appreciate that perspective. But that's kind of what we're talking about. What would change if we went the Danny Meyer direction and eliminated tipping? So let me grab another phone call, and this is an etiquette coach. Miss Cynthia is on the line with us now, who's going to give us a lesson on how we should behave when we're pleased or not pleased. Hi, Miss Cynthia. Are you there?
Hello?
There you are. Go ahead.
Hello, Evan?
Yes, you're on, Miss Cynthia.
Hi, this is Miss Cynthia. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time to call the program.
You're welcome. I'm enjoying the show. Thank you very much. I'm thinking the intent to level the playing field is a great model. As far as getting rid of tipping altogether, I just think that would take time. I think people who go out to enjoy themselves and receive excellent service, have a nice dinner conversation, have a nice dinner, really want to express their gratitude, especially when the service they receive is exceptional. And I think people are just led to give money, and that's what it is that they wish to do. I don't know that it'll ever go away. And quite frankly, I don't know that it really should. I think it's just a nice way to let people know, I enjoyed how you served me. I enjoyed the way that you treated me. I'm enjoying my time in this restaurant, and I wanted to express my gratitude by giving you this. I'm still from the old school. I still believe in showing gratitude, and it is an incentive. But is it going to disappear forever? I'm not sure that it will. And if it does, I think it'll just be a matter of time before that happens.
Well, Ms. Cynthia, thanks for the phone call. A lot of nods around the table here, but let me offer a different perspective from Ms. Cynthia. Anne writes to us with the headline, "I hate tipping." She says, "As a customer, I resent having to tip my server. If they're terrible, we still give them 15%. I think the restaurant owner should just pay them a living wage and manage their performance the way any other employer does. It's so lovely to dine in Europe or Australia and not feel the added pressure of having to figure out what your server is worth. Once again, I hate tipping." That's from Anne. What do you think, Chris?
There's plenty of ways to express your gratitude in addition to tipping. We're not saying that, you know, the entire experience, whether you enjoyed it or not, is dependent on the percentage amount that you leave at the end of a meal. By all means, leave a basic, you know, percentage for your service pretty much anywhere. And just express in different ways how much you enjoyed the experience.
Amanda, what do you think?
Yeah, that kind of goes back to my point about how if you just take that whole element away from when you go out, then it changes a lot. I mean, I'll give you a local example. Good Luck does the Inspired Dinner Series table dinner series, and you buy your tickets ahead of time, and everything is included. You literally show up, drinks, dinner, everything is all inclusive, and you can just enjoy the experience that much more. I feel like it takes out that whole awkward part of paying, having to split it amongst people in your party.
But you're not tipping under those circumstances?
Everything is included. They don't want you to leave anything. There's no money exchange whatsoever.
And you're liking that.
However, if you go to the bar and you order a drink, a la carte, you know, you're going to be tipping
your bartenders. But it sounds like you like that setup.
I love it. I love it. Not having to think about that, you know, end cap of the meal.
But that would be hard to do sort of writ large, because you're talking about a menu that's set. If you go to Per Se or 11 Madison, for example, you know, you know you're paying a baseline price. If you go to Blue Hill at Stone Barns, you're paying $218 to eat there.
Right.
But it is, that menu is set. You don't have options. If I'm going to Char, I have options. So Chris can't give me, Avino can't give me, well, it's going to be $75 per person. That's it. Done for everything. Because somebody may order something very, very different.
Right? We will do that for special wine dinners and special events. There's definitely all-inclusive pricing. It's just easier, especially when people are paying ahead of time. But, I mean, for Danny Meyer, for an example, he raised all of his menu prices 30%. Which is a lot more than the 20% standard gratuity. So that gave him an opportunity to divide that up between the front of the house and give the back of the house a little bit more as well.
All right. So for those who saw the 30% price increase and thought, oh, this is venal, that's more than 20%, Janine is saying, well, some of that's going to the back of the house for a little bit more of an egalitarian approach.
Exactly.
And you do seem to like that.
I do like that. It's about taking care of the employees and the guests, and it's about finding a way that we can do that and make everybody happy.
Okay. I got to get to a break here, but again, every phone line's filled. So if you're waiting to get in, we're going to get to you in just a second here with our panel. And we're talking about tipping. You might have seen the recent headlines, New York Times Magazine, Danny Meyer of his restaurant empire is phasing out tipping at his restaurants. He says tipping is socialist. It's not fair to the staff, and he doesn't like the setup. He wants to pay the back of the house more. And he says, this is the future. Our panel isn't quite on board with agreeing, even though Janine Wasley from Avino says it might be the future, not overnight here, but it's a trend to kind of keep an eye on. So that's what we're doing. Janine Wasley, the owner of Avino, is here. Chris Grocki, the director of operations at Char Steak and Lounge. Mark Potter, a server there, a longtime local server, and Amanda Antonor, restaurant reviewer and critic for The Democrat and Chronicle. If you're waiting on the phone, your phone calls are next on Connections. And coming up tomorrow on this program, we're talking about Uber. Uber and Lyft could be coming to Rochester, and there's a lot of people who want to see that happen, who've had experience in other cities. We're going to talk to some of the folks, though, who don't want to see that happen, the taxi drivers, some union folks, a little concerned about the impact if we bring Uber and Lyft. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow, and we'll be recapping the GOP side. Today we talked Clinton Sanders. So tomorrow we're talking on the GOP side, post-New Hampshire. What's the state of the race? That's all tomorrow on Connections.
New Hampshire voters have lined up in the snow to hear the pitch from presidential candidates. Just a week after the Iowa caucuses, it's the first in the nation primary. Donald Trump hopes to bounce back among Republicans. Bernie Sanders hopes to notch his first win with the Democrats. Whatever happens, we'll bring you the story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All right, welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Quick reminder, by the way, that producer Megan Mack and I are regularly now putting together a Weekends Connections podcast, and it is only in podcast form. It's about 15 to 20 minutes with kind of highlights of the week. If you missed certain conversations, it moves very quickly, and it's easy to find. And Meg, it's always up there now, right? It's on wxxinews.org/connections. It's easy to find. So we put it out every Friday, late afternoon, early evening as we head into the weekend, and I suspect a chunk of this conversation might land on this week's Weekend Connections as well. So that's there, and we hope you check that out on a regular basis. Back to the phones we go, and next up is Bill in Brighton. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you very much. You know, my real complaint about customers is that they're basically unsophisticated. I had the great pleasure, thanks to Chris Grocki and to Jerry Maselli, the executive chef, to celebrate a six-course meal, all prepared as a surprise. I didn't know which wines and which courses would have which foods in it, but it was a spectacular three-hour experience. And it was an experience that was made possible by the executive chef, by Chris, by the maitre d', by the waiter, by the bus, by the servers, by the sous chefs. And I wanted some of their names put on the menu so I could remember them. This is what, to me, people miss when they think they're just tipping the server. I think this whole philosophy of what good food should be about, and I know that many servers are compensated by how many tables they can turn, but this is my philosophy about service, and I'm wondering whether you have any comments on it.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for the phone call. Chris Grocki?
Well, incredibly humbling to hear, and honestly, we love putting together that special menu, and I thought it was so touching the way that we were specifically asked to print the names of all the support staff and the sous chefs and everyone working in the kitchen for that. I think sometimes you do have guests that absolutely wants to see the workings behind the scenes, and Bill's a great example of that. We strive to do that for absolutely everybody. And once again, I think, you know, hospitality is the end game, and tipping is something piled on top of that.
Yeah. What do you think of that, Mark?
I mean, Mr. Smith, I've been waiting on him for more than a decade now, and I love the way he dines. He gets it. He comes in, he has his cocktail or two, and then he advances, and he's so intricate in the way that he plans his meal. He's not... And I really don't want to turn and burn. I really do not want to flip tables. I want somebody there that is for the dining experience, and they just get that, and this is their evening. And that is my reward.
Do you not feel pressure from management? He's sitting across the table to turn more tables.
Very, very rarely. Not a char. I mean, our guest is for the guest. Our goal is always for the guest to come back, and we'll make other accommodations where we may ask a guest to have a cocktail in the lounge or something of that nature, but that's usually well over the two-hour threshold.
Yeah, okay. But for a bit of a curveball to the conversation, let me grab Lauren in Rochester. Go ahead, Lauren.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Lauren.
I was calling because I'm a big fan of tipping as well, and I also have always been a generous tipper, so I'm not against it, but this conversation just made me think. The whole panel has said that they would tip a certain amount, that they tip regardless of the service, but that they all believe in this incentive-based service for the servers and the restaurants to kind of prove themselves and get rewarded. But if they're all tipping the same amount regardless of a minimum, that's a generous tip, I would imagine, from all you guys. Where is the opportunity for the service or the restaurant to really learn from that experience? Obviously, you're not going to go back to the restaurant, but they're not going to know that from the experience that they had. So thanks.
I think for me personally, people know who I am, where I go. And if I have a bad experience, I don't want everyone talking that I tipped poorly or didn't take care of the server correctly. Maybe they're having a bad day. You never know. So we just take care of
them. So you're giving more of the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely.
Okay.
People make mistakes. Things happen. It happens at our restaurant. It happens at Chart. It happens everywhere.
But I think the philosophy of Lauren's comment or question, I think, is a valid one, saying if you're really talking about incentive-based mm-hmm. tipping, if this really is about incentives and you're not willing to go much less, then you are setting kind of a floor here, right?
Yeah, but, you know, us being in the business 12, 14 hours a day, I think we just have a little bit of a different perspective. And
we are bad examples.
Yes, we are bad examples.
You've all relied on it, yeah. So you are maybe bad examples. Amanda?
Well, again, I sort of don't want to leave a bitter taste in anybody's mouth based on what the amount of gratuity I
leave. Lauren, you've nailed them. I think it's an interesting comment, but right. I do think that all of your perspective might be different.
Though, universally, if it were to drop, then the motivation is going to change. Because like what Mark was saying, it's ingrained in us to be, you know, working for money, have something, you know, in return based on what you're giving back. So I think you would notice a change if it were to take place. But right now, I mean, we're still basing it on just a general dining out experience.
Sure. Chris?
Lauren, to your point, I think we have a threshold that we won't go below, but in terms of incentive, what we'll do is we'll add on to that. So while we won't mm-hmm. drop below a certain threshold, we will, in fact, go above and beyond should other people be perceived to go above and beyond by us. And so
that's kind of
where we're coming from on that. Again, we won't really negatively impact somebody because we understand there's a lot of people. And to Danny Meyer's point, you know, that might be included in that particular pool. A lot of people might be earning their income based on what we leave. And sure, we want them to be able to pay the bills at the end of the day. However, we will leave above and beyond.
Okay. Let me get Greg in Fairport. Go ahead, Greg.
Hi. So I actually was a server both in a typical restaurant setting and also in a banquet setting. So in the banquet setting, we actually were paid above minimum wage, and the customer knew that we were, and they were not expected to tip. So when they did tip us, it was because we actually gave great service, and they really enjoyed the experience. So regardless of whether or not we were getting paid above or below minimum wage, the individual still decided whether or not they felt a need to tip. I feel like working at a restaurant, everyone is expected to tip a certain amount, so it's not necessarily incentive-based tipping. And as a former server, I actually am a little bit more critical when I go to a restaurant because I can tell if the individual is doing a job that I expect that they should be doing when they're serving me.
Hmm. Well, Greg, thanks for the phone call. And he brought up a number of things, including wages, by the way. And Greg's not the first to bring that up. And a number of our listeners have been asking, is all of this somehow related to the question on wages? You know, as Janine mentioned earlier, last year the New York State tipped service workers' wage went from $5 an hour to $7.50 an hour. And that impacts different places differently. A diner, someone working at a diner, is impacted very differently than Mark Potter. I mean, I think that's fair to say, right, Mark? I mean,
correct.
All right. So there's different impacts across the board on that. But there's also a question on if the minimum wage itself could change and if that would impact restaurants. And again, it might be different at a diner versus a Char versus an Avino. But Janine, how much of the discussion on going tip free do you think is related to wages?
I think a lot of it. And like I said, you know, minimum wage went up 25 cents, but the server minimum wage went up $2.50. So, you know, for us, that's a few thousand dollars extra a month. So, we can't really complain about it now. It is what it is. But right now it's finding solutions to make up that money. And part of it is going to be raising menu prices. As menu prices increase, then the tips kind of increase. So you're actually giving the servers more money if you look at it that way.
That's an excellent point. Yeah.
And then, you know, for us, I don't think that the raise should fall directly on the customer. We are raising a couple of menu prices. But for us, it's other things like, you know, we're not doing holiday parties for our staff. Our Genie, we don't turn the heat on until 3 o'clock. Donations, we're cutting back. We've actually cut back servers on the floor during the weekdays. We're cutting expos. Like, there's so many other things that we have to do to make up this money.
Okay. Chris Grocki, what do you think about the relation of wages in various forms to the question on going tip-free?
There's going to be a lot of interplay there. It's going to, you know, we're not a huge hotel, but we assume it's going to cost us north of $60,000, $65,000 over the course of a year to implement those new wage rules on the service staff. And I agree that, you know, when you've got a service staff that's already doing fairly well based on tipping, Danny Meyer's point was that, well, I want to control kind of the flow of this money and pay my back of house a little bit more. So he's redistributing the wealth. It's interesting that he would call tipping socialist when he's the one who would like to step into the equation and redistribute where the money goes. But that said, there's definitely an interplay between those two things.
All right, Alexis is asking, though, if your panelists want to pay the back of the house more, why don't they pay the back of the house more? You know, I mean, Janine,
we would love to. I wish they could all make $100,000 a year. I really do. But, you know, we got to sell a lot of Caesar salads to pay that.
Now, that disparity from front of the house to the back of the house is not something that you feel like, without really dramatically raising prices, that you could control, that you could do right now. You couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I would rather see minimum wage go to $12 and the server minimum wage stay at $5. I don't, you know, for us, it doesn't make sense to keep paying our servers more money. And then now we can't give raises to the back of the house because we have to come up with these thousands of dollars every month to just maintain the minimum wage for our servers and the payroll taxes on top of that.
Now, I could ask Mark Potter this question, but I do want to make sure that I clarify. I've got one server here, and he's from one of the highest end restaurants in the city. So, I mean, if I had somebody, again, working in a diner, it'd be different. But were you in favor of increasing the minimum wage for tipped workers?
I understand that I have a responsibility. You know, I'm talking on behalf of a lot of servers and bartenders, and I have a microphone in front of me, and they don't. But I don't mind saying that I think a dollar or $2.50 raise is ambitious, and I do feel bad. And you like the type of restaurants that are smaller. You know, you have those like a Rocco or a Vino where there's only one, and for the business owner to incur all of that in just a short period of time and then have to translate that either to themselves or the consumer, I don't know. I have a tough time wrapping my head around that, and I don't know why the politicians decided for $2.50. It does seem a bit ambitious.
All right. Well, it's amazing the feedback for this program. This might be the biggest feedback day we've ever had on this show with phone calls and comments that have come in. Let me read a few emails here. Kyle writes to the program and says, I'd just like to say that I find it more than a little discomforting to hear how willing people are to commodify their service. If you want to say, I really appreciated this experience or the like, then why not just say it? Is money really the only means of communication available to us? I personally hate wondering if a wait person is being nice to me only because they want money. It makes the whole human interaction element feel cheap. Is that too strong of a comment for you, Amanda?
No, I think he hits a couple marks there. But so if you were to take away tipping and you roll the prices into the menu and you increase everything, as it already is because of the minimum wage increase, I am going to feel a little bit uneasy walking into a restaurant knowing that everything is 30% more expensive, knowing that I don't have the ability to tip somebody on top of that because it's already included. I sort of want the control. I want to be able to give them that feedback through a tip as an option, again, because I think that if you take it away, you should still leave it as a secondary option. And, you know, I think that's just, I think that he definitely has a point there.
All right. Chris, you want to weigh in on Kyle's thoughts there? What do you make of his concern about that interplay, that he feels cheap?
Again, tipping is one way to express something. When you're in a free market economy, you vote with your money, right? And so you're basically upvoting. If we're on Reddit, you're upvoting your service by leaving a great tip. It's not to overly, you know, commoditize it. I don't think we want to ever get into that category. I mean, hospitality and financials are somewhat at odds sometimes, but if it gets to the point where you have to choose one over the other, we're always going to choose the good service and the good hospitality, and we really don't want to talk about it in terms of dollars and cents all the time. That said, we have to be responsible business people.
All right, here's an email from Janice as a vote kind of in favor of Danny Meyer's model. And again, if you're just joining us, Danny Meyer's restaurant empire, and he's not the only one. I mean, I'm reading through various sources here, a number of others that are kind of getting on board as well here. Let's see here. Daniel Hum and Will Guadara, Andrew Tarlow, and others in, I think, all in the Manhattan scene.
Yeah, and those are some of the best restaurants in the world. You're talking about 11 Madison Park there. That's, you know.
Right. I understand. This isn't the most egalitarian group of restaurants, but it's not just Danny Meyer's the point. We are starting to see more follow. And as Chris Grocki said earlier, we will get to watch Manhattan as sort of a little laboratory on how this is working out. But they are phasing out tipping at a number of restaurants in Manhattan for some of the reasons we've been talking about. Janice's email says, thumbs up if it's because we're going to pay the back of the house more. She writes, right. The back of the house is grossly underpaid. My relative is an executive chef who was hired to start up a restaurant, ordering, managing menus, teaching cooks, working 60 to 70 hours per week. He made less than the bartenders and the wait staff. It's hard to hear about bartenders walking out with $300 and $400 for one night. Not to mention that many young people can't make a go of their lives with a college degree financially, so turn to restaurants for their livelihood. Many people are so underpaid for their work, social workers, daycare, nursing home staff, nonprofit folks, please help out the back of the house. That's from Janice. So if we're not going to go the Danny Meyer model, how are we going to help the back of the house? What can we do?
Janine, right, and that's why this is so disappointing to us. And I need to make it clear. I want all my servers and bartenders. I want everyone to make money. But now the raises that we were going to try to give the back of the house this year are now focused on trying to make up for the hikes in the front of the house wages.
Okay. And Michael writes to us and says, Evan, I lived in Switzerland for a year where tips are likewise appreciated but not expected. Such a system does not preclude awarding the staff a tip. It also gave the benefit of inspiring staff to hop to and make us feel welcome instead of considering us just foreigners with subpar German skills. One cautionary note, the unfortunate server in Europe who must go solo for an evening is still paid the same rate, while their American counterpart earns the additional tips for the additional service they must necessarily provide. That's from Michael. Mark, what do you think about that?
I think it's great that other countries are inspired by the restaurant industry, and I think that it might be viewed as more of a career. I think that here in the United States, it's still, like you said, the secondary career where it's like, all right, you're falling back on this. It's just, we're talking about two different topics with this as far as Europe and the United States go.
And you have certainly made it a career. I mean, there are certainly people in your shoes who have chosen it, who embrace it, who love it, who do it, you know, sort of with gusto, and don't view it as a fallback, right?
Right. And I made a conscious decision. I'm like, I love the hospitality industry, and I want to inspire people, and I want to view every event as a platform to do that. And when I get those first-time diners, when I get those anniversaries or the birthdays, and this is their night, I think that is so inspiring, and I have an opportunity to define their life and like how I can change it and make it just a phenomenal dining experience, and I value that.
All right, but if we took tipping up, would we inspire more people to view it as a career? Like, this is what you make. It's not related to tips. This is that's going to be the salary, et cetera. Would that be more of a career?
I think that if you're paying servers what you're paying other professionals, I think that you're going to attract a higher talent pool based on the finances that you're going to give them.
Okay. Janine, were you nodding there? Would this be more of a career if we took tipping out?
I think so. And, you know, back to Mark's point, before I opened Avino, I've served and bartended. I've been in the business 18 years. And it's so funny how many people ask you, well, what else do you do? What's your day job? And it's like, well, this is my career. This is what I want to do the rest of my life. And I love it. And people still, in this community, they almost look down upon it.
Okay. Chris Grocki, could that change if we took tipping out?
Could it? It might. It might not. Again, we're gonna look at the people that are doing it and figure out whether or not it changes things. One of Danny Meyer's biggest arguments was that people don't take this industry as seriously because you're depending on the charity of others in order to earn your wages. That said, I think it's absolute magic that basically, you know, I look at the statistics for an entire week. There's nobody that's, you know, getting stiffed on my staff, and people are earning well above the industry tipping norm, and I think it's because they're providing good service. Do they have to? Do they need that extra financial incentive? Absolutely not, in order to provide good service. They're doing it. They're treating the job as a profession by acting professionally, and that's how it gets viewed better, is just more people acting professionally.
All right, Carol in Pittsford, next up. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, yes. I just want to express my opinion that I don't like tipping when I go out. I think it just makes the experience less enjoyable. Have to start figuring out what you want to tip and what's the worth or whatnot. I think the servers, the people who work in the restaurant, should be paid a living wage. They shouldn't have to depend on tips. And there's other ways of expressing, as other people said, as letting them know that you're pleased with the service. I mean, I work a customer service job. I work very, very hard, and my customers keep coming back to me because they like my service. I'm not even allowed to get tipped for my work, and I think it should be the same way for others. They should just know what their wages are going to be and just be more fair all the way around.
Carol, thanks for the phone call. Thoughts there? I'll go to Amanda Antoner. What do you think?
Yeah, no, she's absolutely right. It's one of the part of the meals that, like I said, it's what I least look forward to, not because I'm a cheapskate, but because it's just not part of the eating experience. I want to benefit everybody who is supporting, you know, doing the supporting role of preparing the foods, bringing it out, explaining it to you. And of course, Mark, I've eaten at Char before. I've had some of my best meals there in Rochester. And the service that you provide has that theatrical, passionate, you know, really welcoming vibe that I'm drawn to. And a place like Char, I think you could get away with taking it out of the equation, knowing that you're going to get that in return regardless, because a person like you is working there. Now, I like going back to, you know, diners and other places that aren't in the same bracket. It's you can't compare the two, but I think there are certain places that it would work better in than others, and everybody can win that way. You have a diner who goes and they don't have to worry about that last part of the equation. And then you have the servers that are getting, you know, equal pay and everything that they deserve based on just who they are and not what they've put out for that particular person.
Well, I'm kind of surprised it took this long to get a protocol question here, but here's the tipping protocol question from Dennis, which, by the way, is preceded by some grumbling about tipping in general. But I do want to get to his other point, that Dennis writes an email. If I buy a $5 burger and a $150 bottle of wine, I believe a 20% tip on $155 is not deserved. That's from Dennis. What's the Chris Grocki, the director of operations at Char? Are we tipping on the full alcohol price? Is there any sort of an expectation there?
I am putting myself in the crosshairs if I answer this question in one direction or another. I will say that there are differing opinions when it comes to this, when it comes
So there's not a single rule of thumb.
Is there a hard answer for this? No. That said, we expect that people will probably end up leaving more in service if they are to order a nice bottle of wine. And we will, to Amanda's point, amp up the theatrics at that point and make sure that we are keeping that wine at perfect temperature, giving you absolutely ideal glassware that is perfectly polished, set on the table incredibly well. We will decant, filter that bottle of wine if necessary, and go through all the steps to make it so that we are adding a service component that is huge on that expensive bottle of wine. We would like to think that, you know, we're going to up our game if you're going to up yours.
Okay. And Mark Potter, what's the expectation? Have people asked about this before? I imagine once in a while they ask.
I'm 19 years old. I'm working room service in Philadelphia, and a gentleman orders a bottle of Perrier Jouet for a wedding gift. And the bottle was in excess of $150, and he leaves me a 20% gratuity for just handing him a bottle of champagne. I thought it was silly then, and I still think it's silly at some level. I waited on a gentleman who is associated with Kia in the Rochester area, and he had a very ambitious tab, and I just I simply told my management, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable putting 20% gratuity on this party. And it's the protocol that if for a party of eight or more, we add that. And I explained that to the gentleman. And then he still left in excess of 20%, regardless of the expensive wine that he purchased.
Probably because he saw your integrity and at least floating the idea that maybe you were uncomfortable with it, as opposed to doing it automatically.
And I appreciate that if that's the case. But I don't think that just because I opened a bottle of wine that is very expensive that I deserve 20% of that. I mean, if we're calling the industry standard 20%, that I deserve 20% just because I simply opened a bottle of wine and I poured it to you in a nice glass. I'm okay with you not sipping. I mean, I'd much rather have you enjoy that luxurious wine without having the obligation of feeling that you have to tip on top of that.
Chris, do you love that I threw you the hardest question of the hour to put you in the worst position possible?
I'm always willing to take it on, even if I sidestep it completely.
Let me let Chris and Janine help wrap up the hour, 30 seconds each here. We're watching Danny Meyer. We're watching the restaurants in other cities think about no tipping. What do you think the future? What's likely in Rochester's scene to be the future with tipping? It stays?
Amanda's played both sides of it gorgeously here. I think you like the control aspect of tipping, but you also like the fact that you get rid of an awkward experience at the end of a meal by pre-ticketing, like, you know, a Linear or Next, like you referenced in Chicago, or the Inspired Table, things that Good Luck does. I think there's going to be some ambivalence when it comes to this topic. Eventually, do we move there? Like Janine said at the top of the hour, yes. I think that eventually we're going to probably find a way to move into a more standard payment model. And do I think that tips are ever going to go away entirely in our industry? I would hope not, because there is a value add there. There is something nice about being able to control that and to demonstrate that kind of generosity to your fellow man. It's a very emotional thing going out to a restaurant, right? Like you're having this experience that can absolutely just move you and bring you in some beautiful directions if done correctly. And sometimes it's not that magical. Sometimes it's a diner. But there you have it.
All right. Chris is saying tipping could change, but it's not going away entirely. 20 seconds. Janine?
I do think it will eventually change. Like I said, I don't know if our city's completely ready for it. We'd have to raise prices significantly, and I don't know if people are ready for a $50 piece of salmon, even though at the end of the meal, they don't have to tip. So I think it's going to take some time, and I think there will be some new restaurants that open in the next few years that probably try that.
All right, Janine Wasley is the owner of Avino. Nice to see you. Thanks for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
Coming over from Char Steak and Lounge, we have Chris Grocki, Director of Operations, and Mark Potter. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Evan.
Mark, great to see you again.
Thank you.
And you can read Amanda Antonor's work in the Democrat and Chronicle on some occasion.
Yes.
How often, Amanda?
In the flavors section, about 3 times a month.
Very good. Great to see you. Thank you for being
here. Thanks for having me.
Our thanks to Val LaBanca, the engineer of this broadcast, and Megan Mack is the producer. Thanks for listening to member-supported public radio. I'm Evan Dawson, and we'll talk to you on a Wednesday.